reality of being saved. Brother Tim had to leave sick tonight, and so Brother Jeff filled in. Appreciate that. And pray for Brother Tim, don't forget. And Brother Ricky Clark is going to preach for us tonight. And so God still got preachers around. And we're being blessed by having men of God here. And we're just trying to use them while we got them. And I did not know when I said we was going to do what we did this morning about Sunday school. I had no idea the weather would be like this. I did not know that Brother Spears would be here. But God worked all that out. He and Brother Alverson both had to leave this afternoon. And Brother Ricky's still here. And so we still got a preacher that we want to preach. And I feel like God would have us do that. Brother Ricky Clark, you come, please. And appreciate him doing a good work there in Kentucky. And appreciate him so very much. You pray for Brother Ricky. And God use him mightily tonight. And we appreciate and love him.
Else got any help, I did, and I appreciate what God did in my heart this week, just to let me know that just got to keep on keeping on, amen, and appreciate your pastor, Brother Ray's my friend, he's my pastor. When I have a problem, I call him and ask for advice, and he doesn't always have the answer, but he knows the one that does, and I know he prays for me, and God always seems to give us what we need. And I appreciate that very much. Turn in your Bibles tonight to the book of Acts chapter 8. The book of Acts chapter number 8. And I'm only going to read one verse of scripture for sake of time tonight. I know the roads are supposed to freeze and all that sort of thing. But I got something that I want to share with you tonight. And I hope it helps you like it helped me. And if it'll do that, then I praise God that he'll use it. If you would stand, please, out of reverence to the reading of the scripture. Acts chapter number 8, look at verse number 26. And the Bible says, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert." And tonight, for a little while, I want to preach on this little thought. What you'll find in the desert. Things that you'll find in the desert. Father, we ask your blessing now, Lord, upon this service. Lord, I need your Holy Ghost tonight to empower me to preach the Word of God. I can't do this by myself, Lord. I need you. And so, Father, I pray that you'd use us one more time and hide us behind the cross of Calvary, that they would not see me, but they would see Jesus. And Father, as we try to impart a few thoughts tonight from the Word of God, I pray that you'd use it in the hearts of all of us that are here. Thank you how you used it in my heart. And Father, I pray that in these hearts as well. Bless us now in this service. I pray if there's one here tonight lost without God, that Lord, tonight would be their night. That the Holy Ghost would convict their heart and draw them to an old-fashioned altar. That someone could take the Bible and show them from the very Word of God how to be saved and know it. Father, bless now, I pray, in the service. And we'll give you praise and glory and honor because you're worthy. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You can be seated. You know the story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. And I've read it a lot of times and I've preached on it various times. But God showed me some things out of this that helped me in my life. And I hope tonight that it'll help you. Just a couple of things by way of introduction. Number one, notice that God commanded him to go to the desert. God told him to get up and go to the desert. It wasn't that he chose to go. It was that God commanded him to go. Number two, God told him to go straight to the desert. He did not go from the mountaintop in Jerusalem down the ridge through the valley to the desert. Philip went directly from the mountaintop in Jerusalem where people were being saved and God was moving and God was working, and Philip was right in the middle of all that. Right in the middle of all that mountaintop, God said, Philip, I want you to go to the desert. Now, I don't know about you, but as a human, I probably would have said, God, why you want me to leave all this? Why you want me to leave up here where you're moving and where people are being saved and where the wave of God's coming in? Why would you want me to leave here and go to the desert? Number three, he didn't do anything to cause God to send him to the desert. Sometimes when we get in the desert, we think it's our fault and we must have messed up or we must have done something wrong. We must have gotten somewhere away from God because God sent us into the desert. I'm telling you tonight, beloved, you don't have to do anything wrong for God to send you to the desert, because there are some things in the desert that you'll find there that sometimes you don't find anywhere else. Now, if you look at the life of Philip and you look in the book of Acts, you can find all kinds of things about his life. You can find about his Christianity in Acts 6, his compassion in Acts 8, his calling in Acts number 8 as well, his charity and how he loved the men of God in Acts 21. You can find Philip's children, talks about his children in Acts 21 verse 9 and how that they're pure and how that he raised a godly home and a godly family. You can also find about his commission in Acts chapter 8. But you know what? I don't know about you, but I don't know many people that stand in line to go to the desert. I don't. Although I've been, and some of you have been to the desert too. And I didn't choose to go there, but God said go, and you have to go where God says to go. Now, there's some things about the desert that I found out because I've been to the desert. I spent some time over in Saudi Arabia and Iraq, and I found out some things about the desert that I didn't like, but that are true. Number one, the desert is a hot place. It's hot. The day I left Saudi Arabia, going back to Germany, it was 126 degrees. People say, yeah, but that's a dry heat. I don't care. It was hot. When it's hot enough to take a piece of aluminum foil and sit it on top of an army truck and put an egg in the aluminum foil and it will cook on the hood of a truck, it's hot. I don't care if there's no humidity or not. It's hot. It's a hot place in the desert. It's where the heat, God sometimes turns the heat up on us because he sends us to the desert. Not only that, it's a hard place. Not many people or not many things survive in the desert. They have to be really equipped to survive in the desert. Listen, you don't see a lot of growth in the desert. Why, preacher? Because there's nothing to grow. We went all the way across Iraq and into Saudi Arabia and never saw a green thing. Not one green thing. All we saw were rocks and sand. I didn't see any green. And so there's not a lot of growth in the desert, but I'm convinced that God doesn't always send us to the desert to grow. Sometimes there's different reasons why God would send us to the desert. And we say most of the time, if we're going into the desert, God's got to be trying to grow us and teach us something. I'm telling you, not every time you go to the desert does God grow you, because things don't always grow in the desert. Because it's not only a hot place, but it's a hard place. Number three, it's a hazardous place. If you're not careful, you'll die in the desert. If you're not careful, you'll die there, because resources are not as great in the desert as they are on the mountaintop. Resources are not as available there in the desert. And the only way to keep from dying in the desert is to keep walking and to keep moving and not stop. You got to keep going. Not only that, it's a humble place. What do you mean, preacher? Because no one sees you in the desert. Nobody sees you in the desert. Only God sees you when you're there. Nobody else sees you, and it's kind of a humbling experience when you know that nobody else but God is looking. There's no glory in the desert because it's dry and it's hot and it's hard and it's hazardous. Listen, there's no glory in the desert. There's no comfort in the desert. There's not even any majesty in the desert. But sometimes we have to go. Not only that, but the desert can be a holy place. God likes to do special things in the desert. Remember Moses and the burning bush? You remember the manna from heaven as they crossed the desert, as they crossed the wilderness? Do you remember the water out of the rock that God gave the children of Israel as they came out of Egypt when they go across the desert? Listen, I'm telling you, the desert can be a holy place. And just because you're in the desert doesn't mean that God's not working. Because there are some things that Philip found when he went to the desert. Number one, he found a sinner in the desert. He found a sinner in the desert. As he went there to the desert, God said, get up and go down to Gaza. And he got up and he went. Now listen, understand, Philip left he left Jerusalem. He left the revival. He left the move of God. He left the mountaintop to go down to the desert where God said. And when he got there, you know what he found? He found a sinner in the desert. And I'm telling you, in the world that we live in today, the world out there is a desert place. And it's hard and it's hazardous. And sometimes it's hot. But I'm telling you what, if we're going to find a sinner, sometimes God's going to send us to the desert to find them. Listen, I don't know about here, but I can tell you how it is in Kentucky. They're not beating the door down to get in a church where the Word of God is being preached and where the truth is being preached and where they preach on sin and preach on how to live right and how to do right. They're not busting my door down to get in. So I found out we got to go to the desert and get them. And listen, sometimes God just wants us to go out there because there's one sinner that you can win. Listen, God could have seen anybody in the desert, but he chose Philip. Why? Because Philip was the person he knew that could lead that man to God out in the desert. Number two, Philip might only have been the only one there that would have said yes to go into the desert. I don't know. But thank God, listen, I bet that old Ethiopian eunuch, after everything was said and done and he was on his way back to Ethiopia, I guarantee you he was glad somebody came to the desert. He was glad that Philip came there. He was glad that God sent him there. Why, preacher? Because he found a sinner in the desert. Number two. Now get this. He found the Spirit in the desert. In verse 26, it said, the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. He arose and went. Verse 29, then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. Hey, listen, in Jerusalem where God was moving and where the revival was going on, it was evident that the Spirit of God was there. But you know what Philip found out? When God said, get up and go to the desert, when he got to the desert, do you know what he found there? The same Spirit that told him to leave Jerusalem and go down into the desert was the same Spirit that was in the desert when he got there. See, sometimes we go to the desert and we get discouraged and depressed because we're in the desert. Hey, listen, the next time you're in the desert, start looking for the same Spirit that was there the night you got saved. Because if you look for him, you'll find him. Because he'll be in the desert. Listen, that same Spirit that had been with him in the fruitful times was the same one he found that was going to be with him in the hot times and in the hard times and in the hazardous times. It was the same Spirit that he found in the desert that he had on the mountaintop. Sometimes we think when we're in the desert that God's punishing us. No! Sometimes there's just a sinner out there that needs to be reached in the desert. And sometimes I think it's just God wants us to know that the same Spirit that's with us on the mountain is the same Spirit that'll be with us in the desert. It was the same Spirit that Philip left in Jerusalem. Can you not imagine Philip, though, when God told him to get up and go? Now, I know the Bible says he didn't argue with God and he didn't reason with God and he didn't do all. But, you know, Philip was a man. I would imagine he wondered, God, why are you sending me there when all this is going on up here? Why did you do that? And the reason was so that Philip could understand the same Spirit that you've got up here in Jerusalem is the same Spirit you'll have when I send you to the desert. It'll be the self-same God that'll be in both places. And the marvelous thing is that while Philip got up and went to the desert, The same spirit was still carrying on in Jerusalem. Hey, the revival was still going on even without Philip. People were still getting saved by that same spirit. Hey, it was the same spirit that continued in Jerusalem that met him down in the desert. I thank God that he can be everywhere all the time. Amen. We don't have to worry about the Spirit of God. He'll be wherever we're at. Why, preacher? He said he'd never leave us nor forsake us. Is that not what he said? Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, I believe. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. If you read it backwards, it says the same thing. Thee forsake nor thee leave, never will I. God just wanted us to know doubly sure that he wasn't going to leave us. Amen. Hey, listen, he found a sinner in the desert. He found the Spirit of God in the desert. Number three, he found the Scriptures in the desert. Hey, when he got down into the desert, you know what he found? He found an Ethiopian eunuch riding along in a chariot. You know what that Ethiopian was doing? He was reading in the Scriptures, amen. Hey, the same Scriptures that they had up in Jerusalem was the same Scriptures they had down in the desert, amen. Hey, when you get down in the desert, just stay in the Word of God. Because the same word that's on the mountaintop will be the same word in the desert. He found the Scriptures in the desert. Hey, that same Bible in the fruitful places will be the same Bible you'll find in the barren places, in the hot places, in the hard places. Hey, the problem is that when we get in the desert, most of the time we start having a pity party. We start feeling sorry for ourselves. Why am I in the desert? What did I do? How did I deserve this? It wasn't because you did anything. It wasn't because you deserved it. It was because God wanted you to be there. And when we get there, we start feeling sorry for ourselves and we quit reading the Bible. We think when we get in the desert, we're all by ourselves. There's nothing there, and there's nothing for us in the desert. Hey, listen, Philip found a sinner in the desert. He found the Spirit in the desert, and he found the Scriptures in the desert. We can too if we'll look for them. Number four, I like this one. He found the salvation of God in the desert. You see, there was this little Ethiopian eunuch that had been to Jerusalem to worship. And he was on his way home in his chariot reading out of the book of Isaiah. And God told Philip, hey, go join yourself to that chariot. And Philip went and got up there and he said, hey, do you understand what you're reading? He said, how can I accept? There's another thing I want you to see out of this. In verse 27 it says, behold, a man. In 31, it said, some man. And there's verse 34, he said, some other man. Y'all will get that after a while. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. I know that's not what it means, but it's what it made me think of. Hey, listen, he found the salvation of God in the desert. He joined himself to that chariot and he began to explain to that old Ethiopian eunuch what he was reading about there in the book of Isaiah. He began to explain to him. He took him from there and the Bible said he preached to him Jesus. He preached to him Jesus. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying when we're witnessing, when we're talking to people, we need to tell them about Jesus. I love this church and I love your pastor, but when you're out trying to soul win, hey, listen, you ought not be talking about Gateway Baptist Church. You can do that after you tell them about Jesus, amen. Jesus is the priority. And when he joined himself to that chariot, the first thing he did was take the Scripture where he was and preach to him Jesus. Told him how good Jesus was and how he died for his sins and how he could be forgiven and how he could be saved. That's what Philip told him in that chariot because he found the Scriptures in the desert. He found the salvation of God in the desert. You know, it's amazing that God is big enough to save people not only on the mountaintop, but even in the desert, God can save people. Hey, listen, he found the salvation of God there in the desert. The old Ethiopian eunuch said, who's he speaking of? Is he speaking of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened. Did you get that? Some other man. Then Philip opened and preached to him Jesus. Hey, he didn't preach about a man. He didn't preach about some man. He preached about some other man. Who? That other man was Jesus, amen. He told him about the Lord Jesus and how he died and bled and rose from the dead. And that old Ethiopian eunuch just listened. And God wrought the work of salvation in the desert. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying the next time the Spirit of God, the next time God tells you to go to the desert, just get up and go. Because there may be a sinner out there that only you can reach. And when you get there, understand, you'll find the same Spirit, you'll find the same Scriptures, and you can find the same salvation out in the middle of the desert. He found the salvation of God in the desert. Number five, I like this one. He found a supernatural event in the desert. He found a supernatural event in the desert. What do you mean, preacher? Look at verse 39. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus. Azotus is north of Gaza. And here we have Philip in the chariot with the Ethiopian eunuch. He gets saved. Where's the water? Doth him to be baptized? If you believe, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. They stopped the chariot, went down into the water. He baptized the eunuch, and when they come up out of the water, Philip disappeared. That's what he said. Isn't that what he said? The Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, that he saw him no more. Can you imagine that Ethiopian eunuch? He done been to Jerusalem to worship. He couldn't find what he wanted down there. Isn't it amazing? He could have found it because there was a revival going on in Jerusalem. Isn't it amazing that the Ethiopian eunuch had to go to the desert to find Jesus? But anyway, he found him. What doth hinder me? Nothing. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. He baptized them. They come up out of the water and Philip is gone. Don't look at me like that. It would have taken you by surprise too. Huh? Hey, God done a supernatural event in the desert. He done something in the desert there that Philip could not have experienced anywhere else but the desert. That was the only place that Philip could have experienced what he experienced in the desert. He couldn't have experienced it anywhere else. It had to be in the desert. He found it in the desert. Can you hear? Can you hear him when he woke up? When he woke up in Azotus? You think he was wondering how he got there? The Bible said that when he got to Azotus, he started preaching right up the coast all the way to Caesarea. All the way up. He didn't say, boy, I wonder what happened. Oh, I must have caught the wrong plane. Hey, I must have done. Hey, he didn't say all that. You know what he did? He just started preaching when he got there. Amen. A supernatural event in the desert. I remember when I was in the desert, lost and undone without God, and some man stood in a pulpit in Midway, Georgia, and preached the Scripture, preached on hell. His name was Harper Bumpers. I'll never forget his name as long as I live. It's the most unique name I believe I've ever heard. Harper Bumpers. But he had the power of God on him. He preached hell hot. I was already a member of a church. I was already singing in the choir. I was already teaching Sunday school. But that night, we went to church. Hey, listen, I didn't go to church looking for Jesus. I thought I already had him. I went to church that night because my music director was singing and I wanted to go and support him. Little did I know. Little did I know that I went there to hear singing, and I heard something a whole lot better than singing. I was out in that desert, and Harper Bumpers was willing to go out in the desert and preach the Word of God. Preached on hell. Boy, I knew if I died right then, I'd split hell wide open. So only time I've ever been in a preaching service where I wanted the man of God to shut up. He just kept preaching and kept preaching and kept preaching. And I'm sitting in my seat saying, would you shut up? I need to go get saved. I should have just jumped up and ran to the altar. It wouldn't have bothered him, but I didn't know that then. It was a Southern Baptist church. Don't shoot me now. It was a Southern Baptist church, and I don't know what they'd have done if I'd have jumped up and run to the altar. I don't think it'd have bothered the preacher at all, but it might have bothered some of the people in the church. I don't know. I'm sitting there waiting. Would you just hurry, hurry, hurry? I thought he never would get done. As soon as he finished, up out of my seat I went, down to the old-fashioned altar. Brother Bill Horsemeyer was the pastor of the church. He opened his Bible on this side of the altar. He opened up his Bible and showed me how to be saved. And I gave my heart and life to Jesus. You know what happened? Supernatural event took place. I got a new birth. I got a birth from another world. I got birthed into God's family. I got birthed into the family of God. And my name was written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. All because somebody was faithful to go and preach in the desert. Supernatural event. Can you hear old Philip when he got to Azotus? When he got there, verse 40 says, but Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Now, Caesarea is way north of Azotus. If you look at your maps, it's way, way north of Azotus and all the way up the coast, all the way to Caesarea. Philip did nothing but preach Jesus. Can you hear him testify? Hey, let me tell y'all something. I was down in the desert. I was down in Gaza. Just yesterday, I was down in Gaza. Now, they knew. They knew there was no way he could get from Gaza to where he was in one day. Hey, yesterday, I was down in the desert. I was witnessing some Ethiopian eunuch down in the chariot. He was reading Isaiah. He didn't understand it. I took where he was, and I just preached to him Jesus, and he believed that Jesus was the Son of God. I baptized him there in the desert, and when I came up out of the water, I was here. God sent me here so I could preach. And he preached in Azotus, and he preached in every city, all the way to Caesarea. He found a supernatural event in the desert. And number six, and I'm done. He found some shouting in the desert. I believe the last thing old Philip heard was that old boy from Ethiopia shouting about what he got. Can you imagine him coming up out of the water, shouting and praising God? The Bible said he rejoiced. That's what the Bible said. Philip caught that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Rejoicing over what, preacher? Rejoicing over the fact that one man would believe God and would do what God said and leave the mountaintop and go to a lowly desert where nothing was at to reach him with the gospel of the Lord Jesus so that he could be saved and go on back to Ethiopia, a saved man. All because Philip was willing to go to the desert. Folks, I'm not going to sit here today and tell you, or stand here and tell you, that the desert's it's always a pleasant place, because it's not. But I will tell you this. The desert in the life of a child of God is necessary. Because God wants us to know that he's the same on the mountain as he is in the valley and as he is in the desert. He does not change. He does not change. Philip just simply obeyed God. God said, Philip, get up and go. Philip got up and went. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying God still speaks to us today. And sometime he's going to tell you to get up and go. And you got to be willing to be like Philip and not question. Not try to rationalize or argue. Just get up and go. Abraham got up and went. Philip got up and went just because God said so. Don't be afraid to go to the desert. Because the same God that you find on the mountain is the same God that'll be in the desert. The same spirit that you've got out here is the same spirit you'll have in the desert. The same scriptures that we use out there is the same scriptures you're going to find in the desert. Hey, it's all the same. It's just a different spot. And there may be one lost person that God knows you're the only one that can reach them. I believe that there are people that it takes a special person to reach them for God. I've got two brothers that live in Wisconsin. When my stepfather died, my stepfather and my mother both got saved at a Baptist church up there, and both my brothers are Catholic. And when he died, it tore them apart because that was the only father they ever knew. And my wife will tell you, we went up to the funeral, and that night I sat at the table with my youngest brother. And he asked me some questions about the Bible, and I began to try to answer his questions and go to Calvary as quick as I could. And I watched him sit to my left at the head of the table, tears running down his face, conviction of God all over him, Brother Gary. And I asked him, I said, Robbie, what's hindering you from getting saved? I just can't. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying I've been praying that God would send somebody up into the desert of Kenosha, Wisconsin, and go by my brother's house and be the one that can open the Word of God to him so that he can belong to the same God I belong to, and he can go to the same place I can go to. I may not be the one that can, but there's somebody that can. And I'm praying that one person in Wisconsin will be willing to obey like Philip and get up and go down to the desert to my brother and tell him about the love of God so that he can be saved. I've got another brother that lives in Twin Lakes, Wisconsin. And I'm praying that somebody go by his house that can reach him with God. But that old Ethiopian going back to, that unit going back to Ethiopia, God could have chose anybody to go, but I believe he knew Philip was the one that needed to go. Because he knew Philip was going to be the one that could lead him to Christ. What are you saying? I'm saying you know people. Listen, there are people like me praying for somebody in Wisconsin to go by my brother's house in the desert of Kenosha and tell him about Jesus. And as sure as I'm standing here tonight, there are somebody in another part of the country praying that somebody in Spartanburg, South Carolina, would be willing to go out into the desert and reach one of their loved ones that don't know Jesus, that's going to hell. They're praying that somebody will go out into the desert and be willing to go and share with them Jesus. I challenge you tonight. Be that one. Be that one. Let God lead you and guide you. And he may send you down to the desert, but it's because there's a child down there that's lost that needs to be saved. Be willing to obey the call and go out into the desert so that you can win somebody to Jesus. Because if you don't, nobody else will. Let's bow our heads. Preacher, you come, I'm done.
Are bowed, eyes are closed, and we're thinking just a moment on what's been preached here tonight. Thank God for the reality of obeying God, going somewhere where God leads you to go and tell somebody about Jesus. Great thought in that, and I pray God will speak to our hearts and help us. I know all of us probably have somebody in our family, somebody we'd love somebody to go by and witness to him of Jesus Christ. Let's stand our feet, please, with heads bowed, eyes closed. I want you to think about that. Maybe tonight we could even give an invitation like this. If you're willing to be open to God, to speak to your heart, and to go. Y'all to come. Whatever it is, God's speaking to your heart about, be a good time to come. Pray God to help you. Father, speak to every heart. Help every person. We will thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. While we sing, you come.